Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. I almost forgot my own tagline there. I'm Ashley Keenan. That is my name. Sometimes I forget to introduce myself. In fact, pretty much every week I forget to introduce myself. I like to keep the focus firmly on sex and relationships where possible and, you know, agony and stuff. But I got an opportunity to speak to two Netflix stars. And I mean, like, I've been watching this show and I'm obsessed with it. So when I got a chance to interview these two, I was just like, I have to take it. The first interview you're about to hear is with Jason Oppenheim. And Jason is the co-owner of the Oppenheim Group, which is a real estate agency in Los Angeles. And they have a show on Netflix about their trials and tribulations, the relationships, the staff, the million-dollar houses they sell, and it's called Selling Sunset. You may have heard of it. It's absolutely massive in Ireland at the moment, and in the UK, and, you know, I presume in the US as well. It's all about work life, their relationships, their, you know, what they do, what they sell, the arguments they have. It's absolutely fascinating. It's reality TV at its best, really. And yeah, like I said, I was given an opportunity to speak to Jason and also Amanza Smith, who will be joining us next week. We've already recorded, but I'm going to leave it and I'm going to put Jason out this week and Amanza out next week. So you'll be able to hear them over the course of 2 weeks. I really enjoyed this chat that you're about to hear with Jason. He was really sound, exactly as you would hope him to be, exactly as you think he would be from watching him, which I always find really refreshing. He was really pleasant to talk to, and I had just a lovely time. You'll be able to hear it because I'm giggling like a feckin' mad joke through the whole conversation. Just because, you know, when you watch someone on television and you're like, you think what they do is so fascinating and it's so different. And really, really good interview. And I started off by asking him about his celebrity clients and if his discretion is important to them.
Certainly. I think that some do and some don't care. You know, I think some prefer the publicity. I think the larger stars prefer the discretion. But it's up to them. Chloe is just, I mean, this was years ago. She was 19 or something when we sold her first house. So she's grown up a lot since then. But I mean, that is just a woman, a very composed woman for her age, always has been.
Mm. And so do you, I mean, when it comes to celebrity clients, because I'm sure you have tons, and I won't ask you to name names or anything like that, but do you have to do things like sign non-disclosures and that sort of thing?
You know, usually they just ask you. Sometimes it depends how well I know them. If I know them well enough, you know, them or their manager will just, you know, be like, listen, please don't say anything. Although, mm-hmm. We have very investigative press out here, and they research the LLCs and the trusts that buy these transactions. So in some ways, these transactions end up in the press anyway. All you can hope for some of the time is simply to delay because, you know, all it takes is a paparazzi to follow someone home and then they know where they live. So we do our best. And yes, sometimes they make us sign NDAs, and I'm certainly happy to do so. But even if I don't sign something, I'm still going to be equal, you know, as much discretion as I would if I had signed it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, working somewhere like you guys do in Los Angeles, where there's, you know, so many celebrities are living and working, it must be kind of part of the reason why I suppose you guys have been so successful is that level of discretion and respect for the privacy of your clients.
I think so. I mean, I think it's simply understood in this at this level. I mean, I was an attorney for many years before I was a real estate broker, and it's the same thing. Obviously, you have a you know, an attorney-client privilege. So mm-hmm. It's kind of been ingrained in me just that the things that I discuss with my clients are for me only.
I know in Ireland, we don't necessarily value discretion, but we do value not caring about anyone. So we're very much like, if we don't care if you're famous, we don't care who your father is, we don't care how much money you have. All we want to know is, are you nice? Can we shake your hand? That sort of thing. Like, we're very, we make a point.
We could use a little bit more of that out here.
Yeah, I feel like maybe, I feel like it might be welcomed. I wanted to ask about you obviously, for anyone who doesn't watch Selling Sunset or who hasn't watched, you co-owned Oppenheim Group with your brother, Brett. And I would love to know, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, they say not to work with animals or children, but they also sometimes say not to work with family. How do you find working with your brother? What's that like?
Good and bad. I mean, it can be really difficult because, on one hand, I respect his opinion more than anyone's, and I wouldn't want to make a big decision without him. You know, he provides me a lot of confidence in those things where I need help the most. But also, we butt heads a lot, and we can, really push each other's buttons, and we can take the relationship for granted because we know, how strong it is, and it's always going to be there. So I have to say, I agree with that saying mostly because it can be so difficult dealing with someone's, that you love and, are so close with. But at the same time, like I said, I wouldn't want to buy a house without him seeing it. I wouldn't want to open up a new office without running it by. I mean, the bigger decisions, it's so great to have someone that you trust, so much, and who you think, you believe in their intelligence so much.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been an occasion where you guys just did not agree on something and couldn't come to a resolution? Or is it a case that one of you always ends up backing down eventually?
There have been cases like that. I mean, I really started the Oppenheim Group on my own. So the deference fortunately goes to me on all things Oppenheim Group. But we don't agree on a lot of things, but it's stupid things. We fight over hundreds of stupid things all the time. When it comes to the big things, weirdly, we tend to agree almost always on big decisions.
Okay. And that I presume, presumably that would be because in a sense, you're both brought up the same way to have the same values and that sort of thing. Have you ever disagreed over women?
I mean, we've had little issues over women, but honestly, no. I mean, we don't really fight over women. I don't think we ever have. I mean, little things here and there, but overall, I would have to say that's never been an issue.
Okay, good. So one of the things that came up a lot in the show, which it was like a part of the storyline that I found kind of hilarious, was that, sometimes, and I've seen it said in other interviews, that you, because of your history with Mary, as in she's one of your exes, that you give her preferential treatment in the office. Do you find that to be true, or do you refute that allegation altogether?
I largely refute it. I mean, I certainly am extremely close to Mary. I mean, she's my closest girlfriend. But that said, I think that everyone would agree that when it comes to business, I draw a very sharp, distinct line between business and, social. Because I have to, because my social is so intertwined into my business. It's my friends, it's my, family. So I think I've done a pretty good job of that. I also think that it's easier for people to ascribe some of the deals that I'm bringing to Mary as favoritism, because that's easier to do than to admit that Mary has simply become, one of the top agents in the office and is bringing in a ton of business. I mean, I think that's the truth that maybe is a little harder for people to admit. And so they're going to defer to the easier, I'm favorite, you know, I'm playing favorites.
Yeah. And how do you find it in general? I mean, you mentioned there that you kind of are strict with keeping things professional on one hand and keeping your personal life separate. But do you struggle ever to draw that line between being someone's boss and being their friend? Or does everyone know, you know, does everyone in the office know kind of how far they can push it before you'll turn into their boss instead of their pal?
I think most people know. We've all known each other for a long time. I mean, mm-hmm. many, I think, you know, 90% of the agents have been at least a 5 to 10 year, you know, close friendship. So I think everyone pretty much knows that when it comes to business, I'm almost always business. You know, I appreciate working with friends because, you know, 90% of the time you're not really, it doesn't come to something where you have to deal in business. But I think at the office, I'm a boss first and a friend second. You know, I'm willing to make the professional decisions. And I think everyone understands that. It's a pretty sharp line here.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think that comes across on the show, actually. I think it's, you know, the show is, you know, kind of predominantly about the interpersonal relationships, and then the kind of the context for that is the real estate industry. But I think it does come across that, you know, people respect you as a boss in spite of all the kind of ongoing drama, if you like. How do you find...
make the argument that I'm tougher on those friends that I'm closest with because I have higher expectations. So they could almost complain that they're getting, you know, in the business sense, it's even tougher for them. And I would agree with that. So I would almost argue there's like a anti-favoritism to the people that I'm closest with just because I push them because I have expectations of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll check that with Amanda when I speak to her later on, and I'll see if she thinks that's true. Can I ask as well, on the subject of kind of being close to your exes, I know that you have said that, you know, Mary is one of your closest girlfriends. How do you kind of, like, what is your stance on that? I mean, I'll be completely honest, there hasn't been an ex in my life that I've been able to remain close to. Like, I mean, we wouldn't have a bad relationship, but I find it very difficult to be really close friends with exes. What is it in you, do you think, that makes it easier for you, or that makes that something that you're able to do?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, I've definitely heard from a lot of people that it's seems a bit strange to them. It seems normal to me, and I guess I've thought about that enough to formulate an answer. And that's that, you know, with all of my ex-girlfriends, who are actually all of my closest friends, there was never any like disrespectful actions taken by anyone. It just didn't work out. So I actually don't understand how people aren't, you know, close friends with their exes. For me, you know, you tell someone you love them, you live with them, or, you know, or you're just become very close with them. And just because you're not going to be romantic and together anymore, I think the natural kind of progression for me is, okay, well, there's no reason why we wouldn't be best friends. We both care about each other a lot still. And that's kind of how it's been for, you know, I'd say my last 3 or 4 ex-girlfriends are all my closest. girlfriends, and I think they're also very close with each other too. So that to me is natural. I think the what most people experience is unnatural. So I would almost have to turn it around and ask them, like, how is it that you can be that close to someone and then not be that close to someone? I mean, you either love them and they're you respect them and they're a close friend, or they never were. I don't understand it.
And I think that is actually an interesting way of looking at it that I would never, to be honest, ever have looked at. I would never have seen it from that perspective. But I think certainly in my case, and in just anecdotally from friends of mine and people I've spoken to about, you know, relationships and such, like the problem comes in when another person comes into the frame. So I know from watching the show that like Mary got married and, you know, Roman is, you know, comfortable in your presence and that sort of thing. I think a lot of people, the issue starts when someone gets a new partner and that partner might have some kind of underlying jealousy or some kind of underlying issue. Has that come up for you, or are you just like the quintessential nice guy and no new
I don't know if anyone would call me the quintessential nice guy, but I'll take it. But I think actually with Mary, she had a boyfriend at one point that was a little jealous. But overall, just looking at like the relationships that my ex-girlfriends have, I'm very close with their husbands or boyfriends, and it works really well. Although I definitely can see how someone maybe who's not as secure might, you know, find issue, but maybe these women just pick particularly great guys that are capable of understanding the situation.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's I like that you've said that the, you know, your exes pick great guys, because that does reflect well on you, I think.
It was a subtle pat on the back to myself,
which is totally fair, and I completely agree. Every opportunity to take one of those, and we will. I would love to know as well, Jason, what was it that made you, like, you're like early 40s, you've got this massively successful business, you obviously love what you do, you've got a great reputation. I was looking at some stats about, you know, where the Oppenheim Group falls in terms of like the ratings of for realtors. Like, what made you say yes to doing a reality TV show? Like, what was it that kind of made you go, yeah, I think we'll do that?
It was a long process. I was actually against it, pretty considerably against it at the beginning. We had been approached by a couple of producers, a couple of agents, and that's the type of thing that I talked to my brother about, obviously, and we both agreed that it was just more risk than reward for the reasons you mentioned. Just, you know, we had a lot, things were going great, and we thought it was just something that could affect our reputation, etc. We met with Adam DeVillo. He kind of really turned us around pretty quickly. You know, he got us excited about the idea. You know, we wanted it on Netflix, and he delivered on that. I'd say Adam was the reason that we pretty quickly turned around. You know, he had a good resume of a couple of other shows that he had done that were very successful. Yeah. And then once we started getting behind it, the excitement grew. You know, we started bonding towards each other, like the cast. And at that point on, it's just been like never looking back. I have to say, it's something that I enjoy a lot more than I thought I would. I really enjoy the show. I enjoy the publicity. I enjoy, like, you know, making people happy when I take a photo with them. And I enjoy the extra business that we're getting from it. So
yeah,
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say it obviously has been good for business then for you guys.
Yeah, it really has. It's moving. It's adding more fuel to the fire. I'd say if there's only one negative, it's that, you know, I think the show, that the camera has exacerbated some of the drama. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, someone who really appreciates drama. So I'd say that has been difficult for me, and maybe even for everyone. But it's all manageable. And overall, yeah, I think it's just a huge win.
I actually find it hilarious that you're saying that you're not one for drama, because watching the show, it feels like just constant back to back drama. But I do understand and appreciate that, you know, the content is filmed over a considerable period of time and that it's edited down for all the most dramatic moments. But I I would imagine, I can't confirm this, this is why I'm asking, I would imagine you're getting a lot of resumes into the Oppenheim group as a result of the show. Is that true?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of people that want to join. Yeah. But, you know, we're not really expanding right now. We might open up another office, but I'm more interested in getting listings and representing buyers than I am in new agents right now.
What is the kind of the best part of the experience of recording Selling Sunset for you?
The best, you know, it was probably what I thought would be one of the least enjoyable aspects of it that ended up being the most enjoyable aspects of it. And that is, I can be a little bit private and not really, you know, like interacting with people that I don't know all the time. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe it would be concerning for me to have people kind of come up to me or come by the office or whatever.
Yeah.
But it ended up for me in many ways, like just seeing, you know, seeing the smiles on their face, or that, you know, like a young girl gets excited or something. Mm-hmm. That makes it pretty rewarding. I mean, I really, really enjoy like making people happy. I'm kind of a utilitarian in that sense. So that has been way more rewarding and way more enjoyable than I thought. And then of course, I totally appreciate the business from my clients. And I think that sometimes I'm getting new clients that I can directly attribute to the show. And, you know, that's always awesome. Mm.
And I'm going to ask, well, after I speak to you, I'm going to speak to Amanda, as you know, I'm going to ask her the same question, but I would love for you to describe Amanda in three words, and I'm going to see what she thinks those three words would be. So what three words would you use to describe Amanda?
All right, but I have to qualify by saying I don't like these questions because I consider myself a thorough person, and okay. I don't think you can be thorough in three words, but I'll try.
Okay, totally fair.
Can I ask a lifeline? Can I ask for help?
Yeah, work away.
Amanda in three words. Witty. Yeah, stylish, witty.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take up the... Okay, charismatic. I'll go with charismatic. I was always going to take up the rest of this entire interview thinking that's my problem.
Well, no, in fairness, like, it is very difficult to put a whole person into three words. I completely agree with you. So that probably was an unfair question. Can I ask as well, how do you think that Amanda will describe you when I ask her the same question?
Oh, that's a fun question. Huh. But it's, I hope you have a pause button on there.
I do.
So that people don't know how long I'm actually.
I can totally edit this to make it sound like.
Like I just knew it. Like I was like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Can you make it seem like, okay. That's a good one. Loyal.
Okay.
Hardworking. Okay. I think I'm just complimenting myself here.
Again, I'm totally on board with that. That's fine.
Let's see. Loyal, hardworking. Tough, maybe those are the three.
Good one. Okay.
No, if I even hit one of those, I would be excited.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure you probably can't. I'm sure you've got.
You know, how about? Let me start. Actually, I'm going to redo that. I'm going to go Brad Pitt handsome.
Brad Pitt handsome. Okay.
Yeah. Those are my three words. I'm changing it up.
Okay. I've noted that down so I can check that. I can confirm that with Amanda later on. And I'm sure you've got, you know, you're probably not allowed to say too much, but just in terms of, I have never been so on the edge of my seat for a season three teaser as I was for the Selling Sunset season three teaser. It was incredible. What can you tell me about season three, if anything? I'm sure you probably can't.
Well, the truth is that I haven't seen it. And because I have like the best gig on this, you know, reality show where I'm not in every, you know, I'm not always around. Mm. And I kind of get to avoid a lot of the drama. Mm. I actually am excited to see it too. I mean, I don't really know much more than you do.
I think the part for me that I am the most looking forward to seeing is Christine's wedding, which just looked amazing.
Well, that I remember. And that was probably the most like epic kind of event in just in terms of the visual aspects. It was something I'd never experienced in my life. And I've been to, you know, amazing concerts and all kinds of events, but I don't think there was anything visually that was as entertaining as that wedding.
Well, if her engagement party was anything to go by, it will be incredible. So
the wedding crushes the engagement party.
Okay, I'm so excited. I really genuinely am.
I really think it'll set the bar for weddings across the world. I don't know how you beat that, just in terms of like cool factor.
Amazing. And I'm really, I can't wait to see. I think it's like start of August or something that it's launching or it's going on to Netflix. So
yeah, August 7th.
Amazing. Okay, so I'm living for that moment, and I really, really, I have to say, really, really enjoyed chatting to you today, Jason. And I'm a really genuine fan of the show and of what you guys do. And I'm actually I followed the Oppenheim group on Instagram now, so I'm keeping abreast of all of the new properties that are going up in LA for sale.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
Though I'm not planning a move just yet, but I keep an eye just in case.
That's our goal, is to get everyone over to LA from all over the world. There's a small chance we'll get out there. I've been to Ireland, to Dublin and Howth before, and we were thinking of making a UK trip. So I will definitely run it by those of us heading out there. Although who knows with this pandemic what the schedule's like, but I'll keep you posted.
Post-pandemic, maybe. And listen, if you ever need any good recommendations for Dublin, hit me up, let me know.
Okay, for sure.
Thank you so much, Jason, for chatting to me today. I really appreciate it.
Tell Amanda hi, and pleasure speaking with you.
So there you go. That was Jason. He was really, really nice, easy to chat to, a really good interview. Speaking of really good interviews, I don't know if I'm allowed to cross-pollinate my different channels like this, but I have a Patreon where, as you probably know, I put up extra episodes of the podcast and features and other bits that I've written. And I have up there on Thursday, so from, if you're listening to this on Friday, it went up yesterday. If you're listening to it at any other point of the week, it went up on Thursday, the 17th of July. And it is about celebrity interviews that I've done in the past, over the years. Who was really, really nice? Who was not so nice? Who was my favourite? Who smelled really good? Who was really shy unexpectedly? Lots of just info over there on my celebrity interview history, I suppose. If you want to check that out, it's www.patreon.com/AislingMKeenan. And if you are struggling to find that, I'm on Instagram at AislingMKeenan, or you can find me via @PrivateEducationPodcast on Instagram for the podcast. Oh, Jesus, I should really script this because it would come out so much more professionally. Anyway, not to worry. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Jason. Like I said, the chat with Amanda, who's also from Selling Sunset, is going to be live next Friday. So I think that's the 24th of July or something around that date. And until then, I hope everyone is really well. Stay safe. Have fun. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.